Today's daf is daf chaf. We're holding the third line from the top of the Amid where the Gemara begins. Omer Rabbi Yanai Yekablu Haroivin Es Tshuvasan. The word roivin means youngsters, young men. And here specifically it's referring to the children of Rabbi Chiya. Now what did Rabbi Chiya's children say that Rabbi Yanai is responding to them? So if we go back to Yud Tes Amid Beis, four lines from the bottom of the Amid, you'll see that the Gemara says, Amri b'nei Rab Chiya, mitzvahs malika machzer simonim la'achoyrehu oyref u'moylek. The b'nei Rab Chiya are saying something which is amazing. In which respect? Because we've learned all about Hilchas Malika back in Mesechtes Vachim and Mesechtes Menachos. And what does one have to do? The Kohen goes and takes his long thumbnail and he goes and presses it against the back of the neck of the oif, and there and thereby he causes there, he's mekayim the inyan of malika. The Bnei Rab Chiya say that's not enough. What you got to do is take the simonim, which are in the front of the neck, simonim being the two pipes, the windpipe and the food pipe, and you have to maneuver them, move them to the back of the oif. How one does that, I don't know. I'm not familiar with the exact structure, maybe. I'm sorry, once again.
Yeah.
For sure. But it's avoidance kashas even without having to go and schlep the two simonim to the back. But that's what you got to do. You take them to the back, and then the kohen presses his nail into them and severs them. And that's how you do the malika, not going through the back and then coming to the front, but you bring the front to the back, and then you do the malika from the back of the neck with the two simonim there. Now the question is this the exclusive way that you do malika, or this is also a way? In fact, the Gemara said two pshatim yesterday, ikka diamri, af machzir. In other words, this also works. You don't need to do it that way. You can do it straight from the back, breaking through the mafrekis, which is the spinal column, and then reaching the two simonim and severing it that way, like we normally learn. Or you can also af machzir. The ikri yami machzir dafka. No, that's the only way you can do it. No other ways. We had two pshatim in the Bnei Rab Chiya. Now, returning to our Gemara, again, Amar Rab Yanai, third line from the top of the Amid, Yekablu Roivin Es Tshuvasan. We're going to ask a big kasha on the Bnei Rab Chiya from our Mishnah, and we're going to try to disprove the two sons of Rab Chiya. Diktani, push date in the Mishnah. The very tail end of the Mishnah that we learned yesterday, still here on the Amid Beis, the Mishnah said, Nimtza kosher b'shchita, posel b'malika, kosher b'malika, posel b'shchita. So the Chayra, these words were unnecessary, because if it's telling us, for instance, the mokoim of the shchita and the mokoim of the malika, that the tzaver in the front is the mokum shchita, and the mul oyref in the back is the mokum malika, that's already in the Mishnah. If you go back to the Mishnah just for a moment, ashoich min atzedodim, shchita is kosher, moilig min atzedodim, the malika is possible. Shoich min oyref, you shecht from the back, shchita is psula. Moilig min oyref, you do the malika from the back, malika is ksheira. Shoich min atzaver, the shchita is kosher, you did it from the front. If you do the malika from the front, no good. The whole oyref, that's the mokum malika. The whole tzava, the mokum shchita. So far, so good. And then the Mishnah ends off. Nimtza kosher b'shchita, pasul malika, kosher b'malika, pasul b'shchita. L'choyre, these words are what we would call ibrik, superfluous. It's like a zeha klal. Because we've already said whatever is kosher b'shchita. What is kosher b'shchita? That it has to be from the front and not from the back. That it has to be dafka with... it can be minatzedodim, that works, but by the malika, it doesn't work. So what's the purpose of adding these additional words? So therefore, says the Gemara, I will tell you, says Rabbi Yanai, what I think these words are meant to tell you. Deloy kibnei Rab Chiya. Diktoni. And now the Gemara again repeats it here on the fourth line. Nimtza kosher b'shchita, whatever is kosher b'shchita, pasul malika. Kosher malika, pasul b'shchita. L'mutei mai. What is that coming to tell us? So Rashi says, obviously it's not coming to tell us that the Mokum Mashchita is by the Tzavar, and the Mokum Malika is the Oyrev. That's what it says in Feirush of the Mishnah. I don't need the Mishnah to repeat it in this very poetic way. Kosher Mashchita, Pasul Malika. My lav lamute, probably it's coming to tell us machzer simonim la'achoyrehu oyrev deloy. Maybe that's what the Mishnah is coming to tell us. That what's nimtza kosher b'shchita, if you go and shecht the simonim la'achoyrehu oyrev, that would work, even though they're normally in the front. But it doesn't matter, because we already said in the beginning of the Mishnah, shoychit min ha'tzidodim shchitosik sheira. The shchita does not have to be from the front. It can be from the side of the neck. So then take it one step further. Take the simonim and put them to the back of the neck. Sever the simonim. Done. He did a perfect shechita. So isn't that what the Mishnah is coming to tell us? Nimtza kosher b'shechita, that just like you shecht the simonim in the front, you shecht the simonim from the side, you could shecht the simonim from the back, all of that will work legabe shechita, but it will not work legabe malika. And if that's the case, is doch shver on the Bnei Reb Chiya that said that mitzvah malika, you can put the simonim la'achoyr hiyo oyrev. No, you can't do it that way. If you put it in the back, that is the shechita. Whatever is kosher b'shechita is possible malika. Zolachoyr, it's wrong. The Bnei Reb Chiya ogifreit my lav namuti machzim on la'achoyr hiyo oyrev deloy. That shechita would work, but malika would not work. Amar Rabbanan, loy nishkaraya lamute shein v'tzipoyrin. What these extra words come to tell us is not on the first part of the nimtza kosher b'shchita pasul malika, but it's on the second part. The kosher b'malika pasul b'shchita. What does that mean? Those things that are kosher b'malika. What is kosher b'malika? A tzipoyrin is kosher b'malika. That's in fact exactly the way the kohen is supposed to do it. The pasuk says a molak a kohen. The gemara says ba'atz moishel kohen. The kohen is molak. He has to do it with his fingernail.
And it's mechuber too.
So therefore, maybe that's what the Mishnah is coming to tell you, that kosher b'malika, what is kosher b'malika using the tzipoyrin, is pasul b'shchita, is no good b'shchita. Why not? Why can't you go and use the tzipoyrin for shchita? Didn't we say that as long as something is sharp, you can take the tzur, you can take a krum yishol kana, anything which is really good and sharp, so why can't you go and take the tzipoyrin? Says Barry, because it goes alibi the Rebbe holds that tzipoyrin is no good. Not because it's not sharp, because of the fact that it is mechuber. How do you know that you cannot use for shechita something which is mechuber? Because it says by Avraham Avinu, by Yikaches Machel. Is that the real pasuk that we should be? According to Rishash and according to Rabbi Newman, he said you shouldn't. And according to Yaakov Landau, you Rabbi Newman. Okay, Yosef Yan. Okay, I'm sorry. Anyway, the point of all of this is that you cannot use the Shein V'tzipoyrin for purposes of Shechita, but you can. Not only you can, you're supposed to use the Tzipoyrin for purposes of Malika. Ah, so that's what the Mishnah is coming to tell you. Kosher Malika, you can go and use the Tzipoyrin for the Malika, but you cannot use it. It's Pasul B'Shechita. The word shein, l'choyra, doesn't really pass around over here because you can't go and use your teeth for purposes of malika. So Rashi already notes that. And it's really on the pasul b'shchita side. Kashim malika, you can go and use your tzipoyin. You're supposed to use your tzipoyin for purposes of malika. Pasul b'shchita, but you cannot use the tzipoyin or the accompanying shein for purposes of shchita. Why? Because both the shein and the tzipoyin are mechuber. Chuber is nishgut. Ah, so that's what the Mishnah is coming to tell you. And if there's no kasha, then on the Bnei Reb Chiya. Freit Yimara, that's what those final words of the Mishnah are coming to tell you. Shein v'tziporin behejikton iluhu. That we have beferish in the Mishnah, that shein v'tziporin don't work. Where did we have this beferish in the Mishnah? We had this a couple of days ago. Tezbova midbeis. Tezbova midbeis, you had the Mishnah. Ashoichu magal yad, b'tzor, b'kona, all of that is good. Oh, the Mishnah on Daf Tes Vav Amid Beis. So that was the prior Mishnah telling us that Shinayim and Tzipoyrin are posel b'shchita. The reason why the posel b'shchita, the Gemara said, was because they are mechuber, and that's Rebbe. So I don't need that our Mishnah here on Yutesim Beis to repeat that again. So it's unlikely that that's the purpose of these words. Koshimalika posel b'shchita. Elam Rebbe Yirmiyah. You're right. Brad Nupshat, why we need these final words in the Mishnah. Lamute moiluch umevi. When it says in the Mishnah, kosher b'shchita, posel b'malika, kosher b'shchita means that when you shecht, you're moiluch umevi. In other words, you go and take the knife and you slice it back and forth. Exactly right. Exactly right. But b'malika, you don't have back and forth, because by malika, you go and take the finger and you just go and press down as hard as possible. Koitzitz v'yoyred, the Gemara calls it. Koitz v'yoyred, you go and break through the mafrekis and you break through the simonim, and that's how you do the malika. That's what it's coming to tell you. Kosher b'shchita is the moilech umevi, but that's possible b'malika, because malika you got to do the drisa, the koitzit biyotei. Frey Timara, one second. Honey, chalmandi, a moilech umevi, malika is possible. If you hold moilech umevi, malika is possible, then part of the Mishnah works beautifully. Kosher b'shchita is what? The moilech umevi. Possible b'malika is the moilech umevi. We're going to see in another moment that in fact it's a big machloikis whether the koyin, instead of applying pressure with his tzipoyrin to go and effect the malika, maybe he can go and do it softly, but just keep on doing it a few times back and forth until he breaks through the mafrekes and completes the malika. It's going to be a machloikis. So according to Bandiyam, that's kosher b'yikalameimah. So ibazoi. Again, how are we going to explain the words nimta kosher b'shchita pasul b'malika? It's not true. Moilech umevi is kosher b'shchita, and moilech umevi is kosher b'malika. So ibazoi, the only pshat that I can go and give is like we said initially, lemute machzir simonim lachoyri o'oyrif, that the Mishnah says that is kosher for shchita purposes, but it's possible for malika purposes. Is the shver on the roivin, meaning on the Bnei Reb Chiya, that said that it's a kosher way, and according to one Ikka D'Amri, that's the only way that you do the malika, by taking the two simonim and you shifting them, me'achori orif. And for the Gemara Nishver, the whole reason why we're being medayik and going through all of this is because Bnei Reb Chiya. Bnei Reb Chiya, Sabri the command, Yomaylechum Meivin, Mamalika is possible. And therefore, according to them, the words in the Mishnah, Nimtza kosher b'shchita posel malika, has nothing to do with shifting the simonim to the back of the neck. We're only talking specifically the gabi the din of moilech umevi. By moilech umevi they hold that is only kosher b'shchita, but they hold that that is posel b'malika, and that's what the Mishnah is referring to by adding those additional words. Rashi points out, you're right, that would be the pshat in nimtza kosher b'shchita posel b'malika. Why does the Mishnah then continue to say kosher b'malika posel b'shchita? What does that come to tell us? Says Rashi, it really doesn't come to tell us anything. It's only to go and just continue, if you will, the poetic form, the sing song, kosher b'shchita posel b'malika, kosher b'malika posel b'shchita. But really, it's not telling us anything new, because all of the halachas of kosher b'malika, such as it has to be from the back and not from the front, that we already know from the Mishnah. So this was really unnecessary. So bottom line is, we started with what we thought was a knockout kasha of Rabbi Yanai against Bnei Reb Chiya, and the Gemara says, no, nishkaray, because we can interpret these words at the end of the Mishnah in a couple of different fashions, so it won't be a kasha on them after all. So since we started talking about Malika with a moiluch umevi, now the Gemara is going to be moiluch umevi in Hilchois Malika. We're going to go back and forth in the halach. Rav Kahana, mitzvahs Malika, Koitzitz v'yoyred v'zu hi mitzvasa. Rav Kahana says, you want to do malika? Recall that there's a couple of choices in Shas, whether Rav Kahana was a kohen, or that whether there were multiple Rav Kahanas, some that were kohanim, some that weren't kohanim. So it could be Rav Kahana is talking for the kohanim after all, he's a kohen, or Stam, he's a Yisrael, and he's just telling us the hilchos malika b'kohuna. And that is, how do you effect malika? Koitzitz v'yoyred. One takes the large fingernail, make it sharp, and then you just press it against the mafrekes, cut through it, cut through simonim, and that's how you effect malika. I've told you already in the past that there was a Rabbi Munk in Haifa in Eretz Yisrael. He was a member of the famous Munk family, where there were a number of Rabbanim. Rabbi Munk, there was also a Camp Munk, many of you may recall from 50 years ago, and if you don't recall, it's all good. Anyway, it's still around. Wait. Anyway, one second. A minute. So this Rabbi Munk had a very, very long, sharp thumbnail. And it looked a little bit unbecoming for a rabbi of stature to have such a long nail. So people asked him, Rabbi, how come you don't cut it? Come with Shabbos. He says, because I happen to be a Kohen. Meheri Yibana Beis HaMikdash. As soon as Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, there are going to be people that will need to go and bring oifois, such as Eyoledes, and others that need to bring those oifois. Nobody will be able to do it because they don't will be able to do the Malika. I have my long fingernail to be able, ready, willing and able, first day, to go into Beis HaMikdash and start doing the Malika. Can you imagine what the emuna that a person had? The whole life he had such a long nail because he had a Beis HaMikdash.
Can I say something?
Yes, please.
My grandfather was a shochet.
A shochet.
But my family, that's why I'm Shulevi, used to trust the shechita of my grandparents. Used to eat only shechita.
Very nice.
Yes, you don't make my father eat. You remember, he come here, he read the Torah, he read, everybody was impressed. My father was from Hasidei Lublin.
Really? Wow, that's really special. Okay, thank you for sharing that.
Yeah, and I remember your father forever.
Okay, we'll talk about that later. Shkoyach. Anyway, so getting back to Rav Kahana, what said, that the way you do Malika is, you take that nail and you press, and that's how you sever the mafrekes, which is the backbone, and then into the siman.
One shot.
I don't have one shot. I mean, you
apply pressure.
You apply pressure. We'll talk about this in one moment. The Zui mitzvah, and this is the mitzvah. Sever of oven lemeimer, koitz v'yoyer in, moylucha mevi'loi. This is the only way of doing it, by pushing and pressing, applying pressure. But moylucha mevi is no good. Amir Abirmiya, no. Kol shkein the moylucha mevi b'malika's kosher. When he said, the mitzvah malika koitz v'yoyer, not that this is the exclusive way of doing it. Avad the moylucha mevi is even better. Why is it even better? Because since it works for shechita, certainly it's going to work for malika. Why is that so certain? Yeah. So Rashi points out that shechita is much more chomer than malika in a number of ways. By shechita we have five different psulim. Some of those psulim don't apply to malika. For instance, what doesn't apply to malika? Dorsa doesn't apply to malika.
Dorsa is
100%. But everybody agrees that Dorsa works for Malika. It does not work for Shechita. If you go and apply pressure, no good. Same thing with Chalada. Chalada means that you go and insert the knife from underneath, and then you burrow into it. Yeah. And then afterwards you cut upwards against the Simanim. That doesn't work. However, by Malika, that's the only way you do the Malika. You do it from the back, so your fingernail is now burrowed under the simanim, and then you cut it from the back. So that's a form of chalada. That's possible b'shechita, but it's kosher b'malika. So we see that malika has in it kulais, and the shechita has chumrais. So madach shechita, which is more chomer, the moylech maybe works. Certainly, in the case of that's in the case of the shechita. Certainly, if it works for shechita, the moylech maybe will certainly work for malika. If that's the case, why did we start off Rav Kahana Zui Mitzvasa, which sounds like this is the exclusive sole way of doing it? You're right. Af Zui Mitzvasa. We have to add the word Af. Mitzvah Malika says Rav Kahana is Koitzitz V'Yoyred V'Af Zui Mitzvasa, because if you want, you can do Moed L'Chomevi. So getting back to your point, Bill, before, when the Kohen is now doing Malika according to Rav Kahana, you don't have to dafka do it all at one go and give pressure and breakthrough. That works. But another way you can do it is you can go and do it softly and just keep on going back and forth 3, 4, 5, 10 times until you've severed the mafrekis into the simanim and then you're done. Yes, sir. Good. We'll continue on.
Beautiful.
Shkoyach. Amr b'yirmi amishmur. Kol ha-kosher b'shchita k'negdoi b'oyrif kosher b'malika. Whatever works on the shechita side on the front of the animal, or in this case, in front of the bird, that you're shechting on the front of the neck, go directly 180 degrees on the oirif in the back. That's kosher b'malicha. Zok Yimara, what is Rabbi Yirmiyahu Mishmuel coming to tell you? That it's kosher in the front for shechita and kosher in the back for malicha is the oirif. The dushteit in the Mishnah. That was our Mishnah of yesterday. A shoichim in a oirif is basel. Ha moilek min a oirif malicha soy is kosher. That was yesterday's Mishnah. So what is Rabbi Yirmiyahu Mishmuel coming to tell us? Elamai is coming to tell us not the kosher, but he's really coming to tell us the diuk. Ha basel b'shechita basel malicha. Where it's possible v'shchita, it's possible malika. Frank Timon Lamute Mai. So, what does that come to tell us? Ilay Malam Ute Ikur Simonim is it coming to tell us in a case where the Simonim became Nekar. Now, this Ikur Simonim is similar to, but not to be confused with one of the five Psule Shchita. Because by the five Psule Shchita, when we talk about Ikur, we're talking about the Tekoyin, or the shoichet, when he is effecting the shechita, instead of doing it with a nice, smooth, sharp knife, he's doing it in a way that is ma'akar the simonim, it tears and uproots of simonim, which typically means that it's a serrated knife, or at least it has one or more pigimois. Remember we had those pictures, they had the two spitzlach, like a V coming up, and those go and tear into the simonim, as opposed to cutting the simonim. So that's what the ikur is, what we define and use the word ikur. Here, however, ikur simonim is slightly different. Here we're talking about the simonim, at least one of them has been dislocated in the jaw of the animal, or in the case of the oif, and the oif supposed to be in its place, and somehow or other it got dislocated from that spot. Ah, so says the Gemara, that's what he's trying to tell us. Lamute mai. That if after that, when you want to go and shecht this oif, it's already possible. Not necessarily that this is called a treifa, it's just by the fact that the simonim are out of their normal habitat. They've been nekar, they're dislocated. That pasul b'shchita, even if you do a perfect shchita, sorry, it's not going to work. And you want to tell us now that same halacha applies to malika as well. That even though the malika has nothing to do with the front, you start from the back. But ultimately, after one severs the backbone of the oif and you get now towards the front, you have the two simonim, you have the two pipes. They're out of place. They've been dislocated. Ah, so maybe that's what Rabbi Yirmiyahu Mishmuel is trying to tell us. Lamute mai ilem lam ute ikur simonim. That he's saying that since ikur simonim is posel gabe shchita, it'll be posel gabe malika as well. That's what he's telling us. Ay v'hatani rami bar yecheskel ein ikur simonim ba'oif. This whole din of ikur simonim only applies by behemois. It doesn't apply by oifois. If it doesn't apply by oifois, obviously we're talking about oifois since we're talking about malika. So then, how can you say that it's posel b'shchita, posel malika by oifois? There's no such thing according to Rabbi Becheskel of Iker Simon and Boifais. So that Lechoyre is not the Pshat in Rabbi Yirmiyahu Mishmuel. Amra Papa Lemute Roishai. It's coming to go and say that if you were to go and do a Malika on the Roish, on the back of the animal's head, as opposed to the Mula Oireth, you do it higher up on the Roish in the back, no good. Pray Timara, Roish Pshita. I don't need Rabbi Yirmiyahu Mishmuel to tell that. The Pasuk says, Mimul Arpoi Amarachmana. Vishtate, it says in the Pasuk, Umalak es Roishai Mimul Arpoi. And you'll remember yesterday we had a couple of Pasukim that told us that Oiref means the back of the head, and Mula Oiref means that you see it, you see the back of the head, because you are in the lower part of the neck, where, Lahavdu by a human being, we go and put our tefillin, the mem or the dalid. You put over there.
The neck. Yeah.
Exactly. Put that in the neck. Exactly. So that's Mula Oirev, that's opposite, or that sees the Oirev, that sees the back of the head. How do I know that Oirev means the back of the head? The Gemara brought a Pasuk, Kifanu Eilai Oirev Veloi Panim. Oirev, therefore, is corresponding to the face in the front. Oirev is the head on the back. Mimul Arpoi means not on the back of the head, it means lower down. In fancy English, it's called the nape. N-A-P-E, which is the back of the neck. So that being the case, I don't need Rabbi Yirmiyahu Mishmuel to tell us that that Pasul B'Shchita, Pasul Malik is referring to the din of Roishoi, Pshita Mular Pan Rachmana V'Loi B'Roishoi. And for the Gemara, my Roishoi, when Rabbi Yirmi Amashmul said that you cannot do a Malika on the Roish, we mean Shipui Roishoi. What means Shipui Roishoi? Just like we had Shipui Koiva, we have Shipui Roishoi. Shipui always means the Shipua, the angle or the slant. Just like the Shipui Koiva, we talked about that the slanting of the Koiva, because it's shaped like a cone, which slants up or down, depending where you're starting from, where your ending point is. See, here too you have the sloping of the head, which means what happens if you start doing your Malika not on the back of the head, and not at the nape, not in back of the neck, but in between, where the Roish starts sloping downwards towards the neck. Oh, so what's the din now? That's going to be possible. Well, why is it going to be possible? Explains the Gemara. He going to knock at me Shipui Roishoi, the Higrim, the Ozel Ademoto Tatoi. Like we had yesterday in the Gemara, Higrim Shlish, Bishochat Shnei Shlish is Psula. Remember, Higrim, of course, means that you're shechting outside of the Shechita zone, the no Shechita zone, not a no parking zone, no Shechita zone. So, we said by Behemoth, what happens if Higrim, that the Shoichet erred and he started beyond the zone? However, that was only the first part, Shlish, a third, or a minority part. And then Baruch Hashem, he was able to slant the knife downwards into the area of, for instance, the Shipui Koiva or the Tabas HaGdoila, depending whether you hold the Rabbi Chanina ben Antignois, whether you hold like the Rabbanan, etc., like we discussed yesterday. So what happens if he started off on the wrong foot? Higrim Shlish, outside of the area. However, then he continued downwards in the right area. Now he's within the zone, and now he's shechted within the zone. So even though at the point of Posak Chiyuse, at the magic moment of the 51%, it was within the kosher zone, but since part of the shechita was an inappropriate non-kosher shechita, which part? The very beginning of that shechita, the first 5%, 10%, 20%, shlish, whatever. So even though when you got to the 51%, you got it right, Baruch Hashem. At the magic moment, you were in the zone of Shechita. But since this Shechita included a large segment of non-kosher Shechita, because it was in the Hagrama, no Shechting zone, so we said yesterday, said Ravuna Mervasi, it's possible, says the Gemara. That's what Shmuel meant to say, that just like we got the Shechita, if you have Hagroma at the outset, even though you ended off okay, it's possible. Same thing applies to Malika. If you started from the Shipui HaRoish, where the Roish begins to slant, that's still above the correct Malika area, because the Malika is supposed to be Mumul Arpai, in that hole, so to speak, there in the nape, in the back of the neck. But he started higher. But Baruch Hashem, he has a very strong nail, and it kept on going down. So knock at Mishipa Roish, he started Shipa Roish. The Higrim, at that point, he was out of the zone. The Ozel, but the nail continued downwards in a slanty direction. Adamota Tatoi, until it got into the Mul Orpoi section, and that's where he severed the Mafrekis, and ultimately severed the two Simonim from the back. Oh, those is what Rabbi Yirmi Yamashmol meant, that Kol HaPosel B'Shchita, this initial Hagrama, even though you finished off okay, same thing by Malika. If you started off by Hagrama, the Malika is no good. Exactly. And that's why the Gemara says, Rabbi Yirmi Yamashmol is learning Kiravun Amar Avasi. He's not learning like him, and not like all those other variations that we had in the Gemara, where we had not only Rav Huna, we had Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, and then we had Rav Chizda. You're 100% right. So he's going in accordance with that sheet. Yes. Amalei Rav Acha b'rei de Rav l'Ravashi. Three lines from the bottom. Ha de Tani Rav Bachesko, ein ikr simonim ba'oif, loy amoran el mandi amar, ein shchita la'oif men ha'toyr. So now the Gemara is telling us something. We learned about this already a couple of days ago, that in Yetz Hashem, later on, we're going to have multiple mandi amrim. We're going to argue what is the mekoyer of shechita l'oif. Some hold that there is a pasuk Some hold it's halacha l'moishe mi-Sinai. Some hold it's only derabanan. Minatoy, you don't have to have shechita so'oif. And the reason is because it says, v'zevachta mibkorcha u'mitzoyncha. Zevachta means zvicha shechita, mibakar v'tzoyn. It doesn't say shechita l'gabi oif. So there's a machloikis whether shechita l'oif minatoyra or midrabanan. Exactly. So now our Gemara says,
Okay, good.
So Rav Acha said to Rav Ashi that the Rami by Yecheskel said that there is no halacha of ikur siman boy.
Exactly.
What means ikur siman? Remember that a simon, one of the two pipes, got nekar b'mkoyma, it was dislocated in the jaw. This only is a problem by behemoth. It's not a problem by oifos. Says now our Gemara, Rav Acha said to Rav Ashi, you know why Rami Bar Cheskel said that? He's saying that according to Mandi Yomar, that ain shchita le'oif min ha-Torah, there is no institution of shchita le'oif min ha-Torah. It's all Drabanan. Oh, so according to that, since there already is anyway no din of shchita, okay, afterwards we ask.
I told him before you say, I told him to support Rashi.
Yeah, we support Rashi. 100%. Very good.
But there is Malika of Oaf in the Torah. We do Malika.
Not only do we have, that's the Chiyuv.
Right. So we're talking about Ikur now, of mm-hmm. Ikur Simanim.
Mm-hmm.
We're talking about moving the Simanim from their place.
Not moving. That was before. That's how we started with Ikur.
We're talking Ikur.
It was Nekar on its own. In other words, you took an X-ray or an MRI, yeah, and you looked inside the jaw of the animal or of the oif, and you discovered that the two pipes were out, were dislocated.
Dislocation.
Right. This was to the right. This was to the left. I don't know why.
So the Bnei Rechiya though said that you're supposed to dislocate.
That's correct.
And that, or maybe exclusively dislocate them.
And I don't even know whether that's called a dislocation, because maybe you take the basar with it. I mean, I don't know exactly how you shift the two simanim, but yeah, how you do the malika, we know. Yeah. But to go and do malika by putting the simanim in back of the oidev, maybe somehow they took all the accompanying flesh and therefore was not dislocated.
They twisted the whole neck off.
Effectively, exactly. Good. Anyway, so our Gemara tells us that when did Rabbi Yecheskel say that ikur simanim is not a problem by oif, it's only because you hold like the Mandi Omer, ain shchita l'oif minat. There's no requirement of shchita anyway. So it's an institution, the Rabbanim. So the Rabbanim said there's no din of ikur simanim. Ikur simanim only applies to behemoths, doesn't apply to oifos. And that's how the Gemara learns initially. Avol, but according to the man, the Yomer that holds, yesh shchita l'oif min ha-Torah. So then, oif is no better, no worse than a behemoth. They're both min ha-Torah. So just like by behemoth, there's a din of ikur simanim that the simanim are dislocated. Same thing applies to shchita l'oif. Yes, there's a din of dislocated simanim that will pass. So Rami B'Cheskel is only according to the man, the Yomer that ain shchita l'oif min ha-Torah. Amalei Rav Ashi responded to Rav Acha bar Yankov and said, "No, adarava, ipcha mestavra alta yitzpung fakeret. Leman diyama yesh shchita l'oiv menatayra. Ikalameimar the hachi agimrei dein ikur. What does this mean?" So Rashi explains, when you're going to say yesh shchita l'oiv menatayra, it's not that you can point to a pasuk and say, "Oh, you see, the pasuk in Breishis and Noyach and Lech Lecha somewhere it says that it's a din of shchita l'oiv menatayra." Doesn't say that. But rather, what we're referring to is halacha l'moishe mi-Sinai. Once you're telling me it's halacha l'moishe mi-Sinai, so then what did the halacha l'moishe mi-Sinai teach you? It taught me that there's no din of ikur min ha-Torah. The same halacha l'moishe mi-Sinai that says that there is a din of shchita l'oif min ha-Torah said that there's no ikur simonim by oifos. So therefore, it's just the opposite of what we were learning until now. Till now we said that the Yom Rebbe Ben Yecheskel that said that there's no din of Iker Simonim at Oif is because he holds there's no Shechitel Oif at all Min HaTorah. Says Yom Rebbe, no, it's Punk Faker. According to Man the Yom that holds Yei Shechitel Oif Min HaTorah, Iker Lameimi, the Hochi Agmrei, the Ein Iker. Agmrei means as part of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu taught Moshe, that Halacha L'Moshe Misinai, he said, number one, there is Shechitel Oif Min HaTorah, but don't think that Shechitel Oif is the same thing as Shechitel Behema. By behemoth is a din of ikur. Here by shchita oif, there is no din of ikur semana. Va'afilu man diyomer ki behema. Even according to man diyomer that says that I darshan ki behema, What it means, ki behema? So Rashi brings a pasuk where it refers to both behema v'oiv, and therefore, if you have the Rashi, ba'afila man diyamar, about 10 lines in, ti'alef lahasim behekesha mizoist toides ha behema v'oiv. Ah, since it says behema v'oiv, those two words together, says that man diyamar, just like by behema, there's a din of shechita. Legabi oif, it's also a din of shechita. So if that's the limud, I would think, therefore, that's a package deal. That just like there's a shechita le'oif min ha'toira, of course, it's like behema because of that hekish. So then there would be a din of ikur simonim that passes by oif is just like by behema. Says Gemara, no. Hachi agmarei, this is ikur le'meimim, the hachi agmarei. This is the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu, the ain ikur. Mafilim man yomer ki behema. Even according to man yomer that says it's not only based on Allah Chalom Moshe Misinai, but it's also based on this hekish, those traders of behema, v'ho'oiv. Therefore it's ki behema. They need ikur loy lehevi ki behema. Nevertheless, we didn't go and learn that oif is totally like behema. After all, there are fundamental differences between behemoth and oif.
One simon and two simonim, most famously.
Exactly. So just like there's that difference, there's another difference as well, that Iker Simonim passel by Behema, but Iker Simonim does not passel by Oifas.
Right.
So, Afil Leman Diomar, Lilyam Kibbe. Ella, so, another one. We have to read the whole thing together. So, let's start on the second line. Omale, Adrab, Ipuf Mesam. Leman Diomar, Yeshchit Lov Menatoyra, Iker Lemeim, Dehochi Agmare, Dein Iker. But Afil Leman Diomar Kibbehema, Leinid Iker, Loyle Hevi Kibbehema, even though it says, Behema Va'oif, and we learn one from the other. But not Legabi Hilchas Iker. Eleman the Omer ain't Shitloid Menatoida. Eleman the Omer ain't Shitloid Menatoida. Eleman the Misafrim, but according to the other man the Omer that holds there is no Shitloid Menatoida at all, it's only Medivri Safrim, Medirabanan. So Mehechi Gemirila, where did the Chachamim take as the basis of their halacha of Shchita? Obviously, they learned it from Behema. And they said, just like the Rabbi Yishlam gave the din of Behema, we, Rabbanan, now institute the same thing should apply to Oifas. So, Oibazoi, in all likelihood, Kula Milzik of Behema, if they're just borrowing the concept from the Torah and applying it not only to Behema, but now to Oifas, it would make sense to say that they took a full package deal, Bakal Mikal Kol, that just like Minat Torah, there's a din of Shechita by Behemoth, there's a din of Shechita by Oifas Midrabbanan. And just like by Behemoth, there's an a problem of Iker Simonim. So there's a problem of Iker Simonim by Oifas too. So therefore, said Ravashi, I could say the other way around. Lav Dafka, that ain't Iker, is according to Mandiyama that's old. That ain't Shechit Oif Menat Torah. Now, Pug Fakert, it's Dafka like the Mandiyama that holds, Ye Shechit Oif Menat Torah.
But only one simon by an oaf, and there's two simonim by a behema.
Oh, okay.
So it's like don minay b'nei b'ukav asrei, or you know, it's like you're exporting the whole thing,
yeah.
Or you're only exporting what you need.
Exactly.
And so
right.
why would they forgive the pun, cut back, and only say you only have to sever one simon? Why don't they say if you're going to say that by an oaf you need shchita, and that's in the chazal? Why are they only saying you only need one simon? It's puzzling.
The reason is because on a practical level, once one of those two pipes is severed, it's a goner. This is already dead meat.
But it's already, you know, if you cut the veshet, then it's a trefa. I mean, if by behema, if you cut the veshet, it's a trefa.
You say when you cut, you mean that there's a neck of the veshet. Even before cutting.
By a behema, if you cut the veshet with the chalif,
right,
and you stopped. Okay, not for shiata, but if you
you created
a trefa. We agree, right?
You were matrif and you did not accomplish a shechita because you didn't do both
simon. But by an oaf, it's kosher. Put it on the grill.
Exactly, that's correct. So you're asking why, and the answer is because the behema doesn't die automatically when you just cut one of the two. It can still presumably live for day, a year, a month, quite. However, by oif, as soon as you go and cut one of the two, it's a goner, it's dead. You can call the Chevah Kadisha of the oif to go and bury it. Or if it's kosher, then you won't eat it. Yeah, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that shortly. Okay, Omer Avinah. Omer Li. We're now 3-4 lines before the wide lines. Omer Avinah. Omer Li Ravin Bar Kisi. Ravin, who's Bar Kisi? Rashi says Shem Chacham. We don't know. I don't know if it comes up anywhere else in Shas. Barry probably knows. But Lamaza.
But the Rangachover said that he knew that the
the Kachim Yerushalmi was a fraud because there was no different Amora in every Masechta like we have in valid Masechtas.
Wow.
So every I mentioned this to Mandy, every Masechta has the name of a unique Amora that
you won't find anywhere else.
You won't find anywhere. Or it's exceptional. It's actually
very good.
Okay, so I'm going to get Amali Ravin Bar Kisi, Hodetani Rami Bar Yecheskel, Ein Iker Simonim Ba'oiv, that that we just have spoken now for the last few minutes, according to Rami Bar Yecheskel, that there is no psul of Iker Simonim Ba'oiv, remember a dislocation of Simonim in the jaw of the oif. Lo Yamarn Elma Malika, that only applies to Malika, that this din of Ein Iker Simonim, in other words, it doesn't bother me, it doesn't passel the Malika. Al b'shchita yesh ikur. However, b'shchita ikur does apply. So therefore, if a kohen or anyone wants a shecht, an oif, and you notice before or afterwards that one of the simonim has been dislocated, it's possible. No good. It's just like behemoth, that would be a psul. This is a psul also b'oifus. However, that only applies to shchita. It doesn't apply to malika. As they zogt, Ravin Barkisi. Freit Yamara, it doesn't sound right. From Rabbi Yirmiyahu Meshmul, didn't we start off at the beginning of today's Gemara, Rabbi Yirmiyahu Meshmul, Kol HaKosher B'Shchita Kenegde Ba'oirav Kosher Malika, and we were daik from that Shmul, that Kol HaKosher is Kol HaKosher, Ha'Posel, what's Posel over there is Posel over here, and therefore we said, according to one of the Pshatim, was the Gabba, the Iker Simonim, that it's possible by the Shechita, it's possible by Malika, and you just tell me now that there's no psul Iker Simonim by Malika, only by the Shechita. That Ravin Bar Kisi is going to disagree with Rabbi Yirmiyahu Amar Shmuel. Rabbi Yirmiyahu Amar Shmuel said that this din of Iker Simonim applies equally both to Shechita and to Malika. Said Ravin Bar Kisi, no, Ein Iker Simonim ba'oif only is by Malika, by Shechita Yesh Iker, it continues to be a psul. So if you shecht an oif and you find Iker Simonim, no good. Amazir, you start a new shtickle now. Nishbara mafrekis v'roi basar ima nevela. You have an oif where Nishbara mafrekis. Mafrekis is that backbone, maybe it's a spinal bone that you find in the back of the oif, which when it comes to Malika, that's the first thing that you sever. If that was broken, as well as not only the mafrekis, but v'roiv basar ima, then it's a nevela. Mm-hmm. Now what means that it's a nevela? As we'll see in the Gemara momentarily, it means to say that it is not a trefa, or it's not only a trefa, but it's a nevela. And for instance, if I come across an oif, a chicken, a duck, a kosher fowl, and I discover that the mafrekis in Nebuch broken, and the roiv basar, I say to the shoychet, now go and shecht it, number one, to relieve it of its misery, of its tzar balechayim, but number two, I want that this should no longer be netame, because we have halacha that shechita mitarasa midei tumasa.
And God bless me.
Amen.
I was so sick. I come to the funeral.
Shelly.
God bless
me. Maybe you want to sit over here. Maybe, Shelly, you want to sit over here. No, not that I want you to.
I'll just give
me some time. I said the wrong thing.
Halibai.
You can.
Halibai.
I have an answer for you.
Anyway, so.
I have an answer for you.
Okay, we have to. Now we have to end
it. We're going to finish. We've got to go to work.
I came late.
Yeah, I know. You know, I get up 4 in the morning to come. Yeah, I come with a cab. I go all the way from a center point.
Okay, so now if the din of Nishma Mafrekis for Ibasa Ima would be a din of Treifa, and a person shechs a Treifa, any time that you have, we have Mitchum Daf Mem Beis, we're going to have 18 Simone Treifa. What happens if you have a behemoth, which is a trefa, the doctors have confirmed, the MRIs and the x-rays have confirmed this animal is a trefa. If someone shechs it now, ooh, it's metarosa midei tumasa, meaning it will not be metame. It's not kosher because it's a trefa. But since you shechted it, if you did a good shechita, it does not have a din of nevela, it has a din of just dead meat. You can go and sell it, you can eat it, you can't eat it. You can kiss it, you can embrace it. It's not kosher because it's a treifa, but it's not an aveil.
Can you use the skin?
You can use it. And in terms of hanor, you can do whatever you want. You have hanor, but you can't eat it. So now the Gemara says, yeah, so nishma mafrek is very bossa ima, it has a din of an aveil. It doesn't have a din of a treifa. So you can check it as many times as you want. It's not going to help.
When does it have
an aveil? An aveil means it has a status as if it's already dead. And a dead animal and a dead bird are nevelos. Treifa is not dead. It just means it's eventually going to die because it has in it a very severe problem, a mum of some sort, which is so bad that
especially
it's one of the 18 treifa.
A lung.
A lung, yeah, especially a lung. You have sirchus in the lung, you have holes in the lung that could be really bad. Anyway, so nijma afrek is very basa ima is not just a treifa, it has a dinner nevela, and that, since it's a nevela, it's going to remain tame forever. Omer Rav Chisda, afanana mitinina, I'll bring you a raya, says Rav Chisda, to Zeiri. What's the raya? It's a mishnah that we had back in Masechtas Zvachim. Molak b'sakin, if instead of doing malika with a fingernail, did a malika with a sakin, metam b'begodim abesab liya, it becomes a nevela, not just a treifa, it's a nevela. How do I know that it's a nevela? Because there's a fundamental difference between a nevela of a behema and the nevela of an oif tahar, of an oif kosher. What's enough? Oh, just like Brother Shai is saying, that when you have a nevela of a regular behema, it's metama, the maga ubemasa, which means you just touch it and you become imbued or infused with tuma because of the fact that you touch a nevela. But that's not the case by an oif. If you have a non-kosher bird, a Purdue chicken, for instance, that did not have the benefit of a shechita, and what did you do? You took it, you kissed it, you embraced it, you played basketball with it, whatever you did, you do not become tameh. When do you become tameh? If you go and cut off a kezias, and you go and sling it, that means you swallow it down, and then you say, ah. And even if you don't say ah, as soon as it goes down the base of liya, then you become tamei, and not only you become tamei, but even the begotten that you're wearing become tamei.
Wow.
Ah. Anyway, so he's saying that since you didn't do a proper malika, you did a malak besakin, matami begotten besabli, it's a full-fledged nevela, and therefore it has a din of tumah. Zokti mora, I'm now going to prove to you, Zeiri, that your halacha is beferish in this Mishnah. The amris treifahav, if you're going to go and tell me that nishbar mafrekes, Vrei Basar Ima is not a din of Nevela, it's a din of Treifa. Malikas is Uishchitasa. Since it says over here, Molak Besakin, he didn't use his finger, he used a sakin. And what happens over here? He already went and broke through the Mafrekes. By definition, you take the sakin, you're cutting from the back on the Oyrev, and you cut through the Mafrekes. What's the din now about this Mafrekes? Nijma Mafrekes, Vrei Basar Ima. If you're going to tell me that it doesn't have a din of a vela, but only a din of a treifa, now when he's still in the middle of his malika besakin, and he's continuing to go back and forth and shecht malika besakin, tehani lo sakin letar midein vela. When the sakin now has gone through the mafrekis, and now is about to sever the two simonim, we should go and say, avadi inal to eat from it, but he should go and say that it's only a treifa and not a nevela. Why should I say it's only a treifa? Because if you're going to hold, not like Zeiri, that nishbra mafrekes v'roi basa ima, it becomes a treifa, then why does it say in that Mishnah, the malik besakin? What means malik besakin? That means you severed the mafrekes with your sakin, and you're continuing on to go and now sever the two simonim with that knife. So why is matam going to be some liya? What you did was you made it a treifa, and then you shechted it, so it should be metame, or it should be metayer, midei tumasa. There should not be a din of tuma of besablia. The fact that there is a din of tuma besablia is a simon of nishma mafrekes. It doesn't become only a treva, it becomes upgraded to an avela. And therefore, as said Rav Chisda, Zeiri, good gezot, but be'emesin, this is a befeirish mishnah. Zokti Zeiri, no, I am being mechadish something. This is not a befeirish mishnah. Amri Hossam, you know why the Malika Besakin is not Moitzi Midei Toma? The reason is because Hossam Mishim Dolav Shechiti Klal. This is not a normal Shechita. If it would be a regular Shechita from the front, it could very well be, based on that Mishnah, that he would be metayer midei tum asa. But the problem of it wasn't the shechita. He's shechting from the back by doing a molak b'sakin. Now you're going to ask, okay, what difference does it make? But once we cut through the mafrekis, since he severed the simonim, does it really matter whether it's from the front or from the back? The tuma my timer. Why is it lav shechita klal? Says Yomar, two reasons. Ravuna amam neishu machlid. Rav amam neishu doyres. Machlid is the third of the five psulim. That's chalada. What's chalada? That the knife is inserted beneath the two simonim, and then you shecht upwards. It's called chalada because it's like a chulda, like a weasel that burrows in. So here too, you go and take the knife, the shechita chalif, and you go and insert it beneath the two simonim, and then you go upwards, as opposed to doing your normal shechita from outside, and then you're going downwards. Why a person would do that, I don't know. But if you did it, that would be a psul. So says the Gemara, here too, since you went and you're taking the sakin from the back, and now you have reached the simonim in the inside of the neck of this poor bird, you've passed the mafrekis stage, and now you're up to the two simonim, but you don't see it externally that you're shechting from the outside. This is like a form of chalada, that you're shechting the simonim from underneath, from inside. Oh, so that's why he's saying lav shechiti klal, because it's a machlid, it's a form of chalada. Rav Amar, I didn't need to come on to that. Meneishu doyres. Since we're talking about a malika, of course, you apply pressure, so the assumption is over here that this malika is also applying pressure with the knife, and that's a form of drisa, of darsa. So that's the reason why it's possible. So therefore, says now Zairi, the reason when I had to go and make my novel halacha, the nishma frekler, basar, imas, nevela, and don't say it's based on that Mishnah, the reason why I can't learn from that Mishnah, where the Mishnah says that it's nevela, metam, begon, besamlia, because he did a faulty malika. It wasn't your normal malika, it was a malik besakin. It was an inside job. And I have two problems, one out either halada, one out strisa. Now the question is, why does each one choose one of the psulim and not the other? Because we had that discussion back on the Omer Aleph, whether Moilichu Meidi works or not. One man the Omer said, Avada it works. It's even better than the case of the Koitzitz Biyad, because Madach Moilichu Meidi works for Shechita, which is so much more chomer. Certainly it's going to work for Malika. No, if you talk about a Moilichu Meidi and Malika, then I don't have a Derisa problem where he put pressure on. He did it nice and slowly, cut through the mafrekas, and then cut nice and slowly through the two simon without applying any pressure. So, the choyre, this should be a kosher shechita. So, Ibazoi, I don't need Zairi to go and tell you that it's a nevela, state of profesh in the Mishnah, that even though Malik Basakin, it's metaba nevela, because it was not a trefa, it was a nevela. That would be a perfect answer, because that passes, because you're not shechting from the top, you're shechting by borrowing underneath. Why is chalada called chalada? Because it's kechulda hadora biikri batim to mechasya. The weasels, they go and live underneath the foundations of the houses. For those of you that don't know what weasels are, we cut a ton of them in our bungalow colony. They do not look very pretty, and when you see them, you go, ugh. But once they see you, what they immediately is they go into their prepared holes, which are underneath the houses, and they just hide there. They don't disturb anybody. They're called the hador
b'ikri batim. Yeah, they're boring animals.
They're boring animals, exactly. So the mechasi, so they're covered over. So when you go and take your normal shechita mesa and you insert it by a regular behemoth or mushel into the jaw of the animal underneath the two pipes, so it's like a chulda de mechasi, you don't see it.
It's
like a stabbing, and it's a total cover up. You don't see it until he withdraws the knife by severing the two simanim and then coming in upwards fashion. That's why it's possible. Ha'chaham megalia, since you did the malika from the back with a sakin, and you first broke through the mafrekis, and now you're at the point of the two simanim, if you were to look carefully from the back of the neck of this oif, you would see it. You'd see where he's holding now. It's not like a chulda you don't see, since it's all covered up because of that boring underneath of the two simanim. Here, he cut through the back. He didn't cut through the front. He cut through the back. So, just like if you cut through the front, you see what's going on in the front. Here, you cut through the back, you see what's going on in the back. So, that's why he felt that maybe the chalada would not be a problem, but the drasa would be a problem.
When you do, when a kohen does malika, must he break the mafrekes, or is that
yes?
It's essential. That's part of it.
That's part.
Thank you.
No problem. There's a shaila in the mafarshim whether that's considered to be part and parcel of the malika,
of the
or it's just a requirement that it has to be done pre malika, and the real malika is due the siman. So you're wondering, so what nafkimin is? Whether it's achana before the malika.
Well, that's the whole thing of b'nei rabchiya, because if you could bring the simanim in front of the mafrekes, behind the mafrekes, then, and be molek them without breaking them,
then you
them,
wouldn't need the mafrekes, according to that shita and achanami. But putting aside b'nei rabchiya, we don't follow that. We have a normal malika from the front, and not the simanim business. So now the question is, the breaking of the mafrekes, is that part of the malika, or that's like a achana that you have to do prior to the malika, but it's not part of the malika itself? So you're saying to yourself, what difference does it make?
It's a makif.
Number one. But number two, whether or not that can be done by a non-koyin. Uh-huh. If you say that it's part of the malika, malika koyin, the koyin has to do the whole thing from beginning to end, including the mafrekas. If you're just saying it's a makshir, it's a hazmona milzi type of thing, so then anybody can just break through the mafrekas and call, okay, koyin, come on over, now you just have to go through the simon.
Is shihiya a problem with malika? Just as long as my malika. Is shihiya a problem with malika?
I believe the answer is yes. I think the exceptions on this hadrasa,
right?
Especially if you
and
hold
chalada, and chalada.
And chalada, but the others, the shihiya applies, and ikur simanim, that would depend on what we were talking about before. L'choira, ikur does, because ikur simanim, we're talking about that it was dislocated, right. Here we're talking about
You're tearing it.
Uprooting it without using a regular knife, either serrated knife, so that should apply to here as well. What was the other? Hagrama. Hagrama we have in
the
zone. It's outside the zone. So in those halachas, they're all the same. Sorry, Lo Yagdu?
Lo
Yagdu. No, that's what I mean, this is the next Gemara. I'm so happy that you brought this up. That's the next Gemara, Brother Shai. Ah, you're cooking with gas. Zokti Moravait, Omerav, Ikashali, with six lines on the bottom of the up. Ikashali, Hokashali. I don't understand something based on what we just heard from Zairi. The Nijma Mafrekes, it becomes an Avela. Why does it become an Avela? It means it's dead. It's dead meat already. Nijma Mafrekes, it's dead, it's an Avela. Does the Kodesh Baruch Hu say that we should do a Malika on a dead bird? Because after all, you're telling me, Mola, that Nijma Mafrekes, once you bring the Mafrekes, it's dead. It's an Avela. If it's an Avela, so why are you doing a Malika now? Would the Torah tell us to go be Moilik a Mesa? Doesn't sound right. Abaye says to Rava, the Shitascha, every oilas oif. What's the din? The baye shnei siman. Here it says in the pasuk you're supposed to be mavdil, so you have to go and cut through not just one siman, but both siman. V'chimeisa oimed umoilik. If you're telling me that you're cutting through two simanim, and you're taking a mesa and you're going and do a malika on something that's dead already, what does he mean? It means that as soon as you've severed with Malika the first simen, then it's dead. That we all agree, because Oifis, their chiyusa is so light,
fragile,
delicate. As soon as you go and sever one, you're done. So why do you continue doing Malika on the second simen? So therefore, Abaye says this very same kasha rova that you're asking on Zairi, I can ask on you for every oilas oif. Oilas oif, by definition, since you bring in a bais mikdash, you have to have malika. And you have to be mavdil both simanim. By the time you got to the second simon, it's already dead. Amalei said dosin yishka kasha. Hasu gnei lakayim b'mitzvah havdolah. That's not part and parcel of malika. That's a separate din, a separate mitzvah of havdolah. Vis-a-vis the malika, you're already done with one simon. Hatz havdolah, you have to have the second simon. So nishveh. If you're telling me that's a din, a special din of mitzvah Abdullah, or Nami, why don't you say that you have to go and sever not only the second simon, should have to go and be sever also the oir, the skin of the oif, to make a total Abdullah? Every Mark Kalama Akib Ishita Ma'akib Abdullah, Whatever is normally ma'akim b'shchita is ma'akim b'avdala. And therefore, by a regular shchita, you have to have, by a behema, you have to have two simanim, ma'akim b'shchita. Here, the gabi oif is ma'akim b'avdala. You have to make sure you cut through both simanim. By shchita, you don't have to cut through the skin. What do you mean? How do you get to the simanim if there's no skin? Mm-hmm. What happens if you come across an animal that had a trauma or had some sort of disease? Not that didn't make it a treifa, but it's missing skin there on the neck area. Would that pass from shechting? No, it's not ma'akim b'shchita. Omen. Brother Shah is agizent. Okay, good. Because whatever is not ma'akim b'shchita, the removing and the cutting of the skin is not ma'akim. It doesn't say anywhere that shchita you have to cut the skin. So if there was no skin there from before, because it was diseased, trauma, whatever, and you, the shoykhid comes to the animal and says, "Why, I've never seen something like that. You've made it so convenient for me. I see the two simanim right in front of me." Since it's not ma'akev avdola, the skin is not ma'akev avdola either. Frank Timur va miyot simanim l'rabbanan t'loi ma'akvi b'shchita u'ma'akev avdola. Miyot simanim means to go and shecht through the entire simen. It's not ma'akev b'shchita. You can go and just shecht roiv of the simen, and that's already sufficient. Ma'akv b'avdol, b'avdol, you have to be ma'avdol, but that's the whole pshat of ma'avdol.
Both simonim.
Oh, so you see that there are things that are not ma'akv b'shchita, and they are ma'akv b'avdol. So why do we say the same thing, Gabi, the skin? It's not ma'akv b'shchita, but maybe it's ma'akv b'avdol.
Yeah.
Says, Yimori, you got a good point. Ela'im, I'm going to change my language a little bit. Ela'im, kol sheyeshnei b'shchita, yeshnei b'avdol. Whatever is involved in Hilchoi Shechita, which are the two simanim, Yeshna Avdala, that when it comes to Oyla Sa'oif, it's not enough just to go and shecht half of it, or just shecht one of it. You got to shecht both of it for purposes of Avdala. Skin, they have no skin in the game, right? It's no, it's not Choshev at all. There's no Hilchoi Shechita of, not an issue at all, not a Shechita issue when it comes to skin. And Abdullah said that doesn't apply to Abdullah at all. So he went, okay, so we just had a shtickle dialogue about Varava. Mikol Mokum Kasha. What's Mikol Mokum Kasha? Says the Tap Rashi. Fchimesa Oimidu Moilik. If every single time, once you go and do the first simon, or in the case of Zairi, every single time you have Nishma Mafrakas, it's already dead. He said it's an Avela. If it's an Avela, why would you go and be Moilikit on something which is a dead bird? Amarava. Ema kainhu, kainhu oisa, choytech shedra umafrekis beloyroiv basa. Going back to our Zairi for a moment. When did Zairi say? Notice he said nishma mafrekis veroiv basa ema, then it's nevel, because you have both. Mafrekis was broken, and the roiv basa that's surrounding it in front and in back, the gamsa, that was roiv basa, nishbra, that's an nevela. In the case of the Malika, what are you supposed to do? Choytech shedra mafrekis b'loy roiv basar. If you don't go and cut through the roiv basar over there, only that basar that is right adjacent, but not to the right, not to the left, that's how you make a kosher Malika. So you tell me, how do you do that? It's so difficult. That's why it's not one of the Malachas koshers, avoidus koshers, shem migdosh. We'll stop over here, Rabbi Yisrael. Have a wonderful day. The chilik between Zairi and what we just said now is Zairi is talking about Roy Basa Ima, and the Gabi a regular Malik is below Roy Basa Ima.